Moral Revolution community, welcome back to our podcast. I'm so glad you joined us today. We're going to dive into all things God's design for healthy sexuality. Let's talk about it.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to the Let's Talk About It podcast. My name is Daniel Madry, and joining me today is Jay Valentin. Jay, how you doing?
Bro, thank you so much for having me on.
I'm so glad that you're here. This has been, I would say, a long time coming for me, probably not a long time coming for our listeners, because for those of you guys who don't know, Jay basically founded Moral Revolution. He's like in the bedrock. He's woven within the bedrock of this organization. So yeah. I would say, if not for the listener, tell me, where do you come into the origin story of Moral Revolution?
Gosh, man. Well, I mean, my dad founded Moral Revolution, and so I was the original user. Do you know what I'm saying?
Like, yes.
His content came from me being in the car, like me failing all my sexual experiences. Like, that was his content.
Yeah.
So I feel like, y'all are welcome.
Yeah. Thank you. thank you for being a crash dummy. I could only imagine what it's like to have, I mean, and I think you've kind of leveraged it quite well, but what it's like to have your entire history,
yeah,
you know, being magnified into the spotlight for everyone to learn from, to be like, oh, I'm not the only one who's jacked up.
You either run from it or you monetize it. Do you know what I mean? I just thought,
listen,
I better monetize that or I'm going to run my whole life.
When you said that, something in my heart leapt. And all of a sudden, I realized I'm a dormant million-dollar man.
No. So I can't remember when Moral Revolution started. But from the very beginning, you know, this is something that my heart has burned for yeah. a long time. And I fought, you know, to live a pure life coming out of addiction myself, pornography addiction, masturbation addiction.
Right.
And so it's been a massive journey for me of battling that stuff, winning those wars, and then wanting to give that back. And so, helped my dad write some of the books, a couple of the chapters, I should say, and then have done a bunch of filming, bunch of speaking for Moral right. Revolution throughout the years when Havila was running it, and then Kate and Cole, and then now you. And your beautiful wife. So it's just, honestly, it's been one of the greatest things that I've ever done
yeah.
is help people.
Well, you know, I just want to say thank you, because I was that end user. I was that person who was listening to Jay Valentin on the podcast or following along on social media, reading the books. And, you know, I can say, especially winning the war within, for those of you guys who are, you know, this is a shameless book plug, monetizing your, you know, monetizing your journey. But winning the war within was a huge book for me in my journey of understanding, how do I work?
Yeah.
Like, how is the inside of me really woven together? And how do I help have a better blueprint for navigating who I am? And I think, you know, today on the podcast, we're going to be talking about anxiety in relationships. And so if you feel like that's something that you're like, that is what I struggle with. Like,
a whole bunch of people just got anxiety
yes.
from you saying the word.
They're like, I'm done. Actually, no, I'm going to turn this off right now.
Can't
you know what? You know what will make this way better is if you listen to it on 2X. The only thing better than anxiety is hearing people talk about
that's
it
true.
Really fast.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I was going to recommend if you feel like this podcast is valuable to you today, I did want to recommend Winning the War Within by Jay Valentin. It's, or I think probably on the book, it's Jason Valentin.
Yeah.
You probably
way,
know so. Where to find him. It's a great read, but without kind of taking any more time, let's dive into it. Let's dive into anxiety and anxiety in relationships. You know, I guess the first question that I want to bring to you today is, what is anxiety?
It's a great question. I mean, it's your body's natural response to stress, to being overwhelmed, to fear,
right?
To thoughts that are overwhelming, or to the unknown. Anxiety. A lot of anxiety is I'm in the middle of a desert and I don't know which way to go.
Right.
Right. Like, that's a lot of people's anxiety in life. Literally is, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do in life. I feel aimless and powerless. And it's different than just even being in the desert and knowing, like, I need to go north.
Mm-hmm.
it's like, I don't know where to go in life. So that anxiety shows in a lot of different ways. It can be, it can have like physical effects. So heart's beating faster, I'm sweating, have a hard time thinking, or anxiety can shut you down emotionally, or it can make you fight. You know, it could turn on your fight or flight response. Like you feel a lot of anxiety and all of a sudden you're like, wow, I'm a different version of myself.
Right.
So yeah, anxiety is what we all experience when we're afraid, overwhelmed, having thoughts that are of concern.
Yeah. And, you know, specifically on this podcast, what we want to talk about is anxiety and relationship, because I think classically what we've learned or what we've been taught is, hey, if you get into a relationship and you feel anxiousness, if you have that, brother, that's the Holy Spirit telling you, you need to run,
yeah.
You need to get out of here. And I want to dive into maybe some of the experiences of other people where that's not the case, where it's like, hey, actually the idea of being in a relationship, maybe losing that autonomy or, you know, giving up a level of control of your life really causes an anxious feeling. Or I would say what's even worse is I find myself in a pattern where I'm really attracted to someone. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's great chemistry. We start taking a step in the right direction, not even being compromising. And all of a sudden, that same eerie feeling of this is wrong. I'm in the wrong place. I can't do this. God's telling me no.
Yeah.
And the pattern begins.
Yeah. So anxiety can also be just a warning bell to us, right? Like you start to feel anxiety and it's your body's response to danger.
Right.
And so there's so many different reasons for that. And I think if you didn't build really strong relationships growing up, right? Let's say that you grew up in a family that was fairly disconnected, then your own confidence that someone's going to love you, or that you're going to do a good job in a relationship, that you're not going to get rejected, that you're not going to get hurt, is very low, because a lot of your lens for the world, your lens for how you view the world, your ecosystem is all developed when you're really young.
Right.
And when I talk about this a lot, like you're not the one that wired you. You're not the one that created your belief system. And we think that we are because we don't ever think about it, but that was all created when you were very, very young, based upon how well you were nurtured, taken care of, how well you were bonded, attached to, because children don't have the ability to actually regulate their emotions when they're very, very young. That's all done through co-regulation, through attaching. And so what happens is you bond to your ecosystem. You basically either develop these protections to keep you safe in a world that feels very unsafe, or you learn, wow, I'm safe, I'm taken care of, I'm going to be okay. And so you feel free to love, you feel free to risk, you feel free to put yourself out there, try and fail, because you grew up in a home where you could try and fail.
Right.
And so I think when we're talking about relationships, so many people experience loads of anxiety in a relationship because before they were ever in a dating relationship, what they experienced inside of their home was a relationship where they didn't feel super validated, loved, seen, nurtured, cared for, understood. And so, man, now I'm going to go into this actual relationship where I don't know them. I'm risking a lot. And vulnerability for most people equals danger.
Yeah.
Unwanted danger. This place where I'm going to fail.
You know, I think another part of this conversation that I've seen is that sometimes whenever maybe someone enters into a more toxic relationship, mm-hmm. where this person's unstable, or like all of the wise voices on the outside could, yeah. be like, okay, that's a train wreck. Like probably, yeah. don't want to go there, where that all of a sudden feels safe. And, yeah. that all of a sudden does have a measure of comfortability. Although if you're using like your intellect, you could be like, no, I mean, I understand this probably looks off, but it feels good. And then you step into a relationship with someone who's stable, or someone who, you know, doesn't have a lot of these toxic, yeah. relational traits. And on the inside, you're like, this isn't it. This isn't the one that God has for me. Would you say that in that those initial formings of childhood, that the reason why that toxicity feels safe is because that's the nature which they were developed in.
Yeah, it's the hell that I know.
The hell I know.
It's, you know, the hell that you know, it always feels safer than yeah. the unknown, the hell that you don't know, right? The hell that you're imagining is going to happen. It's also what I feel like I deserve.
Right.
It's also what I know how to manage and control. And so it is, it's the known. It's the known versus the unknown. And so, like, if I don't feel worthy of love and care and concern, then I'm not going to find someone who is at the, I'm not going to be able to keep that relationship, right?
Right.
And so when you get into a relationship with someone who you feel like is beyond you, then it's scary because, and most of this stuff happens unconsciously. I think that's what people need to understand is this isn't a conscious thing. That's why this stuff's so hard to figure out.
Right.
It, you know, understanding like, wow, I always sabotage relationship. People get 5, 6, 10 years down the road before they start to look back and go, dude, I'm actually the one that's causing this.
Right.
I'm sabotaging these relationships because, you know, I don't have the tools. Yeah. I was never given the tools. I don't have the confidence. I actually crave, I create chaos in order to create connection.
Right.
And so I don't know any other way. I mean, that, those are a lot of
the
reasons.
Go into that a little bit because I've heard of that before and I've seen that where people will just like completely ruin a moment. And it's like, they do it out of a sense of feeling connected or feeling.
Yeah.
That's once again, coming back to the childhood development where it's like chaos is what I know.
Yeah.
That's absolutely incredible. It's kind of fascinating.
It really is. Like, again, if you got your needs met through, chaos, more like I can say it like this, like, as young kids, they learn what gets them attention.
Right.
And a child, for the most part, doesn't care if they get attention through doing good things or through doing bad things. I mean, they would prefer good, but human nature is I need attention, right? The average kid, the average child needs attention every 2 to 3 minutes is what we're finding out, right? So, and I know that because I've got little kids, 2 and 4 years old right now.
Yeah.
And every 2 to 3 minutes, they're going, Dad, watch me. Dad, do this. Dad, I'm hungry. Dad. And if I don't meet their needs and don't pay attention to them, then they'll seek attention other ways. And so they start acting out in order to be seen, noticed, cared for. And that's just what you learn, right? You learn, I get connection when I act out. It just becomes this track, this, when I push this thing, I get this thing. It's cause and effect. And so if you learn that, if that's the way that you got attention, then that's what you're going to do. If that's what you did all growing up, you also follow the same track in school, right? Like, it's like, I don't get a lot of attention until I'm the class clown.
Right.
And then, that moves into your dating relationships and your other relationships is like, people like me because I am disruptive. So it just becomes a part of who you are. You see yourself, and not only that, but you see the world. You see, in order to get connection, it's a big math equation. In order to get connection, I have to get attention. I have to get their attention. And I get people's attention by doing something loud, doing, you know, blowing it up, causing disruptions.
Right.
And it's sad because it's not God's original design, right? God's original design is that you would get cared for, that you'd be nurtured, that you'd be unconditionally loved so that you bond correctly to your family so that you have confidence, you feel safe, you feel known, so that you learn how to have needs. And basically, you can go into a dating relationship and manage the level of stress and anxiety through communication and through clear understanding and through respect. And so a lot of, you know, there's kind of two camps. Like, people experience lots of anxiety in relationships because of the first thing we talked about. Grew up very dysregulated. They don't trust people. And so it feels really dangerous. Or we experience lots of anxiety in a relationship because we're pushing it too fast. We're asking questions that we can't possibly answer. For instance, what was your wife's name again?
Ellis.
Ellis, that's right. When you started dating Ellis, if week 1, you're asking yourself, am I going to marry her? you can't possibly have enough data. Because, and maybe you were asking that, but what happens is it starts to create anxiety. Mm-hmm. Because you don't know it, what her core values are. And even if she says them, you haven't seen them. You don't know how she's going to repair after an argument. You know, you have never done conflict with her in a week. And you don't know how she treats her friend group, right? It's simply a, I'm asking questions that there's no way. It's like when you start asking, is the world going to end in 2024? Well, we don't have that information. And so you stay up at night trying to like prepare. You're a prepper. You're trying to prepare for something that, and there's a certain measure that you have to prepare and ask about, but there comes a certain line that you can't cross, that you don't have information. That's why you need God in your life.
Right.
The last piece to me is a lot of anxiety comes in the relationship when your level of intimacy exceeds your level of trust. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this before on this podcast with the relationship ladder, the right. dating ladder, is when I go further with you physically and emotionally, then I have trust for you. All of a sudden I'm exposed.
Right.
I don't know how you're going to handle that. I don't know that you're going to really care for me. And now I'm giving you all of this. And so we often give ourselves away emotionally and physically in order to gain safety, in order to gain certainty, right? That's the big pull, is we all crave certainty. Human beings crave certainty. It's one of our number one top needs is certainty, because we live in such an uncertain world. And so in order to get certainty, people go, well, if we're connected physically and we're really deeply connected emotionally, then you won't leave me. That'll create more certainty. But it doesn't. What happens is I give you so much that I've basically placed a bet that I don't know is going to come through. Mm. And now, like,
it heightens the stakes.
It does. You can walk away. I don't know your character. I don't actually really know. Do you like me for me? Or do you like me for my body? Or do you like me for the emotional connection? Mm-hmm. Like, I just gave you all this stuff. So now I double down on that.
Right.
And I give you even more because I'm trying to get you to match me. I'm trying to get you to commit to me.
Right.
And so people's anxiety just keeps raising and raising and raising until, you know, in that kind of relationship, it doesn't really last because it's very performance-based and it's very fear-based.
And we can only perform so long.
Yeah.
Like before, you know, the act starts to fall apart and you're like, guess what? I'm not perfect, you know?
Yeah. And ultimately what you're trying to get is you're trying to get the other person to go like, I love you. I'm never going to leave you. I'm going to be here forever. Mm. But it's like, I don't hardly know you.
Yeah, that's right.
And so as soon as you really get to know the person, you're like, yeah, the chemistry, the sex was great, or the emotional intimacy was awesome. But we don't actually even line up in all these areas.
For sure.
So then when you do that over and over again, that becomes so painful to do relationship because you're always breaking it apart way up here when you've risked so much. So you you learn these patterns at a young age, like, man, we dive all in trying to get that certainty and that connection. And then when it breaks up, it's so painful. And you do that two or three times and you're like, relationships are painful. I don't want to do them.
Yeah.
And if the problem is people get so used to that high, you get so used to the high of that deep, fast fire connection that doing a relationship slow doesn't feel exciting.
Yeah.
It feels boring. So it's like, I'm not trying to overcomplicate this. I'm just trying to hit it from a bunch of different angles where people are like, I don't know that, that she's exciting or he's not that exciting. It's like, no, you're not excited because you're used to chaos. You're used to 1,000 miles an hour and then an explosion.
Right.
What's actually better is instead of hoping that it's magical like Disneyland, is to go at a pace that doesn't blow your mind. It's actually predictable and intentional.
Yeah.
And kind.
Right.
And let it develop and build.
Well, you know, I feel like I'm thinking about the gamut of people who are listening to this episode. And I think the reality is there some people who are listening and they're like, hey, I think that's me. I've been in that situation where I'm in this pattern. And honestly, I think, you know, one of the things that a mentor told me years ago. He said the hardest thing for a person to do is to be honest with themselves.
Yeah.
And for someone who is raised in maybe a more, you know, disconnected environment and who has this repetitive pattern of highs and lows and crashes and burns and, you know, just an entire, you know, wake of relationship trauma behind them, it requires that honesty to be like, I am the problem. Okay. I'm the problem. And that's the first step forward. I think there's also probably another set of people here who could be listening to this, trying to justify something that maybe the Lord actually is telling them. Maybe the Lord is like, I have something different for you. And so from an outside perspective, how would you help a person evaluate their emotions with immense honesty to where if someone is in a cycle of anxiety and they're crashing and burning, they can say, I know this is a pattern. I need to talk to someone. I need to get help. I need to get a counselor. Or that person who's like, oh, good. The reason I'm feeling like this is because of the way I was raised. But this is a good relationship, right?
Yeah.
So how would you kind of surgically draw a line in the sand and let someone have a litmus test of honesty to where they would know, you know what, I'm maybe justifying something that I feel is actually the Lord, or I need to press through in this relationship and really seek help if I desire to get married.
Okay. Some people aren't going to like my answer to this. I think in some ways God is less involved than people think. And let me just finish by saying we often use God as a scapegoat, as if he's like, I have the one for you. I've got this one that would be perfect. She wouldn't bring anxiety to you. She's the Proverbs 31 woman or whatever. Like, he's the perfect man, right? Like, when you're with him, you're going to be in your feminine forever. You're never going to feel afraid. And the truth is, like, it just doesn't happen like that.
Yeah.
And it's not that God doesn't care about us and isn't a part of our everyday lives, but it's very rare that I actually have seen where I know God came in and specifically went, this is the wrong person.
Right.
Although they could have been a good fit. I think more often than not, we start to realize our core values don't really align.
Right.
Where you're headed, where I'm headed is two different things. I don't really feel comfortable with how you communicate. It's not fun. We don't have a ton of fun together. And you start to add those things up and you go like, this isn't a relationship that brings me a ton of joy.
Right.
It's rare that somebody goes like, wow, our core values are the same. We're heading the same place. We communicate really well. We've been through conflict and we do that really good. I still feel loved and cared for and known and seen and understood, but God's asked me to lay this down. So I think before you pawn it off on God.
Right.
Because part of that is taking ownership. Like, when you just pawn it off on God, then it's like God's, you miss out on taking ownership of your life and really diving down to like, what is it about this relationship that I don't like? Because I just see that in the Christian world so much, is people just blaming stuff on God. And then at the end of the day, when they get something that they don't like, then it's like, well, God told me to marry her, or God told me to start this business. And it's like, well, maybe. Or you made a bunch of decisions.
Right.
But because you keep pawning your whole entire life on God told me. Okay, so let me get back to, if you're in a relationship and you're not enjoying it or you want out of it, the first question is why? Why do you, like, what specifically about the relationship? And I think pulling the confusion out of it, because if you can't say, this is what's happening that I don't enjoy, this is what's happening that's making me want to pull away, then it's probably just your fear. Like, you just have irrational fear towards it. It could be the way you grew up. It could be the type of relationships you've been in. You just have fear. You're just going like, it just feels scary.
Right.
It's like, well, there's going to be lots of things that feel scary in your life that you need to do. That's why the Bible literally says more than anything, do not be afraid. Like, manage your emotions. You know, Cole, I was talking to Cole the other day and on the Braveco podcast, and he said, emotions are like kids in the car with us. You don't want them at the driver at the steering wheel, but you also can't throw them in the trunk. They need to be there where you can hear them, but you can't let them drive the car.
Right.
And so if you're in a relationship and you're starting to go like, I'm feeling anxiety here, I don't know that I should keep moving forward, the next question is explain why.
Right.
Practically explain why. And if you can't explain why in a way that makes sense to someone that you respect, not just someone that respects you, but someone that can tell you, nah.
Someone who's not afraid to be honest.
I did that recently with a friend. Just like, this is your cycle. You constantly get in relationships with guys, and it's the same thing. It lasts about a year, and then they leave. And it's because you don't like being alone. Because you don't like being alone, what you do is you justify away the things that bother you about them, and then you get into relationship, and then eventually you get tired, or they get tired of you, and you end up, you know. So you have to be okay with being alone. And in order to be okay with being alone, you have to build a life that you love.
Right.
You have to have purpose. You need to have some momentum in your life. You got to have a community that you love, or you'll just pick somebody simply because you don't want to be alone.
Yeah.
And so to me, it's like part of defeating this anxiety in your life is being really present when it's happening. Why am I making the decisions that I'm making? And then pulling other people into your life that you really respect to go, hey, can I talk through this with you?
Right.
And can you give me some feedback in my life? And making sure that you're doing that with people.
Well, how long do you think that takes? Because, you know, we've heard so much about the way you're imprinted, you know, the way you're emotionally imprinted. You know, I've heard it said, oh, you know, you'll always kind of to some degree struggle with that. Well, if marriage is such a high anxiety area for so many people because of its permanence, I would say, especially in the Christian circles, then how does the process of working through that anxiety, you know, day in and day out, begin to take shape to where it could actually change us enough to where someone could say, I'm ready to marry you. Like, I confess, I admit, I don't know what's around the corner, but I'm confident enough to say yes. Or maybe even could you share a story or a scenario where you've seen that played out?
Yeah. So to me, part of what takes away our anxiety, and by the way, everyone experiences anxiety in different ways, shapes, or forms. And it's just a part of everyday normal life. It's like podcasting, for instance. Podcasting feels terrifying when you first start doing it. It can.
Tell us more.
Yeah. But then you start to build confidence. The more you do it, you start to build confidence, right? The more you understand how you work and, oh, that I am a good communicator, or I'm going to learn a couple tips each time and I'm going to grow my skill set. So as your skill set grows, it becomes more familiar. Everything becomes more familiar and you have more confidence.
Right.
Relationships are the same, right? It's like, wow, most people are going into relationship with the same toolbox, same relational skills, the same toolbox that they used in high school.
Yeah.
And so as you start to move deeper and get older into relationship, it's like you only feel the same level of anxiety as when you're a teenager, because you have bigger problems, more is at stake, and you haven't upgraded your toolbox. So people can instantly start to upgrade that by learning boundaries, like literally go in and read the boundaries book and study it and practice it.
Right.
Learn how to get your needs met. Learn how to communicate your needs in a loving, helpful, healthy way. Take some marriage courses. You know, if you're married and you're like, man, I have a lot of anxiety in my marriage, learn how to argue, learn how to communicate, learn how to do repair attempts, and build that competency. Because most people are just afraid simply, it's like how I grew up, but I haven't grown in competency. And so confidence comes through competency. We all want to be confident, but if you aren't competent at all, if you're not trying, so you can go and declare in the mirror forever about, I'm an overcomer, I can do this, I can win. But if you never try and then learn from that and then try again and then apply what you've learned,
right,
then you never grow in confidence.
I mean, you have to claw your way out is what it sounds like. Like it's an entire battle.
It is, but what people forget is like, that's life. There is no actual final destination. No one is arriving anywhere. At any point of life. And I take great comfort in that now, because I'm 43, almost 44. Most of my mentors in life are at the later end of their careers.
Right.
You know, my dad, Bill, Danny Silk, lots of these guys, other guys that I haven't mentioned. Every single one of them deals with insecurities. Mm-hmm. Every one of them deals with fears. Every one of them deals with anxieties on different levels.
Right.
Everyone's still growing. And I'm starting to realize, like, I'm never going to arrive.
Yeah.
So I have to decide. Here's what people have to do. The person that can delay gratification the longest and persevere, that's the people that we envy in life. That's the people that we truly envy. Because delaying gratification looks like, yeah, it's really painful right now to learn healthy communication. Mm. What I really want to do is watch Netflix tonight, which
right.
there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. But it's like, instead, I'm going to take this masterclass in communication.
Right.
You just delayed gratification. Mm-hmm. I'm going to wake up and go work out for 30 minutes. What I really want to do is sleep in. Mm-hmm. Well, what you ultimately want is to be physically fit and to have confidence in yourself, confidence that you can do hard things. You know, in a relationship, as you get married and you have kids, like, what I really want to do is I really want to be able to have to be a present dad and to validate my kids' emotions. It's like, what's the most tempting thing to do when you get home? The first thing that you want to do when you get home is check out, because the kids are frigging crazy. They're loud and they have so many needs and it's overwhelming. And I'm having to manage my triggers and my anxieties. But if I delay that gratification, if I delay looking at my phone, if I delay checking out, if I delay and I am present with my kids, all of a sudden I'm learning I can do this.
Right.
And I'm proud of myself.
Right.
And so to me, it's like, people have to decide. There's no magic pill that's going to come and make your life awesome. There's no one that grew up in such a good family
right.
that they don't experience anxiety. They're not having to work hard. And that's all a myth.
Yeah.
It's like, we all are looking at people thinking that person's got the upper hand because they grew up like, and it's not like no one has an upper hand, but no one has everything that they need.
What I love about this is, I mean, the conversation took a shift because, you know, we're talking about,
No,
I love it, because as you're talking, I'm like, I want to rip my headphones off and, like, you know, go yeah. through the wall right now, because you're right. People look at their current situation and they say, oh, well, this is insurmountable. And it's yeah. like, no. You literally have to rep it out every day.
Every day.
Don't give me your excuses. You have to rep this out every day if you want to see a change in your life. And so, you know, when it comes to emotions, people believe, well, this is just the way I am.
Yeah.
This is the way my family is. This is how it's always been. Well, listen, I get that it's hard. You know what? And
yeah.
and you might have come from a deficit. You know, you might have one emotional talent
yeah.
versus the two or five emotional talent people, but it doesn't mean you can't multiply it.
And it doesn't even, honestly, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, because the truth is again, like, nobody has everything that they need in order to get to where, in order to just stop and relax and go, my life's awesome.
I've made it.
God gave us a gift when we're young. Mm-hmm. It's called a metabolism, right? We have a metabolism. Yeah. Yeah. And as you age, it's like, the best that you're going to be physically is whatever you're going to work for mm-hmm. eventually.
Yeah.
I'm 43 years old. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if I want good blood markers, if I want a good report from my doctor, I have to work for that every day now.
Yeah.
I go home, I have five kids. I've been through a divorce. I've co-parented, shared kids back and forth. Like, there's no day off for that.
Yeah.
I don't take a day off of learning communication. I don't take a day off from learning problem solving. I don't take a day off from conflict, because mm-hmm. my life was full of it and it's still full of it. And I'm remarried. So it's like, and I've got young kids again and old kids again. Like, I don't take a day off from parenting and learning how to parent well. Like, people want a break. Mm-hmm. And you just have to decide. And this goes for dating and everything. Like, if you're happy, if you're 100% happy with where you're at, because that's the best that you're going to be. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, join a group of people who are working hard, to grow their life. Yeah. And that's what Moral Revolution is. Yeah. Like, join a group of people who are putting in the work every day. So your relationship, you've got a lot of anxiety in it. Mm-hmm. Okay, welcome to the club. Now the question is, what are you going to do? You're going to be open and honest and take ownership of that and go talk to people. Well, I can't find the right people. Then pay for it. Pay right. for a counselor. Yeah, invest. Invest in having the best marriage that you've ever seen.
Right.
Invest in having confidence that you can do this. Invest in your skill set. And if you don't give up, you'll get what you want.
Yeah. Let me ask this. I know our time is coming to an end, but I know there's also someone, you know, riding around in their car listening to this, and they're thinking, this is the person I'm with. We have this conversation. They tell me how they feel. I'm on edge because are we going to make it? Like, are they going to break up with me? Are they just going to let this, what would you say to someone who is in a relationship with someone who deals with this kind of anxiety?
We often think that relationships are a box of, like marriage is a box of unending love and fulfillment and sexual like gratification. Marriage is an empty box.
Go ahead. Paint the picture.
Marriage is an
empty box.
Let's
tell the singles about it. My goodness.
It's just a math equation. It's my wife's name is Lauren. It's me plus Lauren. I can't pull anything out of that box that I didn't put into it. So just because I got married doesn't mean that like now I can pull a bunch of peace out. Now I can pull a bunch of patience. Now I've got self-control because I didn't have self-control before we got married, but now I'm going to. Like, her body's going to fix my porn problem. No, it's not. Mm-hmm. It's just a big math equation. So to me, I'm like, if you're in a relationship with somebody that's struggling with anxiety, okay, no problem. Communicate well.
Right.
Let them know what you need.
Right. That they're not powerless within the relationship to say, well, this is just how it is. And maybe I'm buying my time. Or
to me, it's like, Lauren did, she had a bunch of anxiety at one point in our relationship. And she's just said, it was one night in the car. She goes, it's like 3 months in. She goes, I just don't know if you're fun enough for me.
And thank you. Yeah. We love that one.
Yeah. And I said, I don't know that I'm going to be fun enough for you. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be everything for you. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to fill everything in my life.
Right.
That's why you have other people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But at one point, I literally said to her, because she goes, I don't know, like, I have this anxiety. I don't know how to keep going. And I said, hey, why don't you just take some time and figure out what you really want? Mm-hmm. Go talk to people. Go work out what is this anxiety in you. And like, we took a break for a little bit.
Yeah.
And she came back and was like, I don't want to be away from you. Mm-hmm. Because I like how we communicate.
Right.
I like how you care for me.
Right.
I like where our future's heading. I like how we have fun together. It not only made sense, but I could see how my future is going to be bigger. So people need to have needs in a relationship. And you can't be afraid to let somebody go who doesn't want to be in the relationship, or you'll never get somebody that really wants to be in a relationship. You'll only get somebody that doesn't want to be alone.
Yeah.
And that's the wrong thing.
Oh, yeah, of course. And I feel like someone needed to hear Lauren's story. Someone on this podcast needed to hear, oh, wait, that, like, because they saw themselves in Lauren. They're like, I'm dating this guy. He loves God so much. He's boring. Or I'm dating this girl, and she's just, like, kind of stale. But, okay, stale is probably a little overkill.
Nah, yeah.
What I love about the story is that I was waiting for it, and I didn't hear it. God, the clouds split open.
Negative.
The light shined down on Lauren. The clock said 1:43.
Yeah.
You called her at that moment.
Yeah.
And he spoke and he said, Jay's the one. This is the guy for you.
It's honestly, so I've been in this so long. When people tell me there's just so many God things that are lining up with her and I, my first reaction is, I don't trust it. Mm. And it's not because God can't do that. It's that when people are looking for a sign from God to lower their anxiety in a relationship, my first question is, do you not have the tools to build confidence that you can do it, that you can make this decision? Do you not have the tools and to assess? And that it's, if you don't, then you just need to say, I don't.
Right.
So that you go get that. Because the truth is like, God's not going to be enough to keep your marriage together. Mm. He's not. We have this like belief that God's going to do all the stuff. It's like, no, you have to show up and be present with your wife every day. God's not going to make you.
Right.
You have to emotionally connect to your wife every day, or she's not going to want to make love to you. You have to be intentional with your kids. God's not going to do all that work. God's not enough for your marriage. You have to have the practical skills and tools to show up day in and day out in order to make that marriage work. And so why would we marry someone because God says so? I want God's approval,
right,
that I'm on the right path and that this is the right person, but I've got to know that I can do it, that I'm putting in the work. Don't marry me just because God gave you a yes. Marry me because you love how I treat you. You love how we communicate. You love where we're going. You love what we're doing. You love how we do conflict, because that's what your life's going to be. It's not going to be anything else.
Well, Jay, that was super valuable. Before we head out, I was wondering if you would pray for our audience and maybe just practically walk them through that first step of processing their anxiety with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Father, we thank you, Lord, for each person that's on here. And Lord, you know what it's like to feel anxiety. I mean, you came and you were just like us. You went through everything that we went through. It says in the Bible that Jesus was tempted in every way, that he knows what it's like to be us. And so right now, wherever you're at, I just ask you to invite the Holy Spirit in to come and reveal, why is this anxiety in my life? Where is it coming from? Holy Spirit, would you highlight where this anxiety is coming from? And then, Holy Spirit, would you come and bring them an answer? Would you actually come and be their comfort today? And Father, would you come and ride with them in the car, or lay with them in the bed, or walk with them on that walk? It's one of the prayers I pray with my daughter every night. Would you come and lay next to her tonight? Would you be with them? Would you father us in this moment? If it's the man, this is the cycle that's been going on forever, Lord, would you walk them out of that cycle? Lord, if it's a chemical imbalance, Lord, would you come and heal that? Lord, if it's the tools and tactics that they never got, God, would you come and lead them? You say that a man plans, but God leads a step. Would you lead us into all truth and knowledge today in your kindness, Father? Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. I feel like there are a number of people who are listening to this conversation, and I feel like some keys were given. And it's not the key that opens the door to unlock their problems going away, but it's the key that opens the door to the next set of problems that they're going to work through.
Yeah.
And so, hey, thanks, we appreciate you spending time with us. I know you have some resources that you're working on right now. If you would just tell us about it, we would love to hear about it.
It's great. Yeah. So Lauren and I have a podcast called Dates, Mates, and Babies. Mm-hmm. We dive deep into dating and into marriage and into raising kids. So if people are out there looking for that, we're right in the middle of our sex series. So
perfect.
Which is awesome. So we dive deep into how God designed sexuality, sex and marriage. We have a sexologist on the podcast, talk through a whole bunch of stuff. So that's really cool. And then Lauren and I are just launching our marriage intensive again. Mm-hmm. We just finished it in January. It was awesome. We had 60 couples on there, so much breakthrough. And so it's 6 weeks long. It starts April 16th. And so if couples are interested in growing a strong marriage, just what I was talking about, if you want to gain the tools, the skills that you need to really have a thriving marriage, that's why we're doing it. They can go to jasonandlaurenvalatin.com and check out our marriage intensive.
Incredible. Well, Jason, thank you so much again for being on the podcast. We really appreciate all of the ground that you have plowed.
Thanks, man.
For Moral Revolution. And we're truly just standing on your shoulders right now. So we're grateful.
Thanks, bro. I appreciate it.
Thank you guys for listening. If you want to learn more and check out all of our awesome content, be sure to head to our website at moralrevolution.com and our socials, Instagram, Facebook, all of them. But before you leave, don't forget to like, review, subscribe, all of the things. We want you guys to come back and join us. We enjoyed having you. See you next time.